Hello, Jets fans. Welcome to yet another one of our previews for the upcoming A-League season. And I'm joined this time by Steve from the About You Now podcast to talk everything Adelaide United. Steve, how are you doing? And welcome to the Jet Stream.
Good, thanks. And thanks for having me on.
Mate, how's your off-season been? It's been a long one. It's a bit longer as well because Adelaide were knocked out in the first round of the first round of the finals last season. Have you enjoyed your off season?
I think we have. I think it started off quite hard when we lost quite a few of our players from last season. It probably felt like it was going to be a really hard year this year, but I think we've recruited quite well and we did that early, so it gave us a lot to look forward to. And then obviously, with the FFA Cup coming in, and we've gone quite well in that, we've had quite a bit to look forward to.
You have had a really good run of the FFA Cup, and you're into another, I think it's your third FFA Cup final. Are you excited for that? Are you glad that the team's had that competitive football going all the way through to this point just prior to the season?
Yeah, definitely. I think in Adelaide, as we won the first one, it's always been quite important to the fans. Whereas I think some clubs maybe they're still even building into it, into that being an important competition. Whereas for us, having won the inaugural one, we've always looked forward to it, and it's quite important. It also does, like you alluded to there, it gives us competitive games running into the season. Now, unfortunately, the team that we've got first up, Sydney, and they've done the same thing, so it hasn't given us that 1% over them. Mm. But it's given the fans something to get excited about, which is much in an off-season quite as long as ours. I think that's important.
Now, during the off-season, I guess we will get into the players a bit later on, but one of the important, I guess, retentions for the club has been Marco Kurtz. He had his inaugural season last year, but he was mentioned as one of the possible candidates for the Sydney job. Do you see that Marco's retention has been really important to the club?
Yeah, both the club and the fans. The fans really got behind him in his first season. We had quite a clean out losing players like Karuska, McGowan, Stereo and Galekovic all left. And they were quite influential players for us and also fan favourites. So when they left, there was, again, as the A-League clubs tend to do, there's a big clean out every couple of years and no one was really sure what was coming next. And when Kurtz came in, his signings were good. He brought intensity, which is, I think, really important. He's got all the guys sort of pulling in the right direction at the same time. And one thing that is really important is this year he's sort of brought in double session trainings in the off-season, which I read an interview with him and Simon Hill earlier this week, and he was saying that he wanted to do it straight away. Being from Germany, that's what they did. But he knew that it was very difficult to just walk in and implement that. He'd lose some of the players, so he hadn't brought it in straight away. He'd slowly bedded it in, and he said that the players now are all behind it, and he's running double sessions all through the off season, which I think is a step up in professionalism for our club, and I think that's the sort of stuff that bringing in these international coaches can bring, just that extra level of professionalism. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what he can do in his second year with the club.
Are you seeing that this is now his squad? I mean, you mentioned quite a number of outs the previous season. There's been also a similar number of outs this season as well. And him bringing in quite a few players, obviously, to replace them. Are you looking at last year as a consolidation for him and this year as the year that he really steps up and goes for it?
I think less in terms of personnel. I think he brought in quite a few that first season anyway. Because we did get him in June, I think it was. So it was quite early. So he did have his team, I think. But I think it's more about the culture that he's implemented. He's been able to slowly bed himself in over the course of 12 months and not come in and turn the whole club upside down in one hit. So I think it's more about the stability of his coaching and the fact that, I mean, the signings he's brought in this year, I think it'd be hard to question his decisions after last year with Absalonsson and Adlam coming in being so prolific in the league. I think his signings are very important. They're important pieces to the puzzle, I think.
We'll go through the outs, and Ersin Ghulam, his loan ends, so we won't go into that one too much. But two players that you mentioned there, Daniel Adlung and Johan Absalonsson, massive influence on the team last year, particularly Adlung in the midfield. And despite his injury concerns, Johan had a very strong, creative influence on the team up top. Are they players that you're disappointed to see leave the club?
Yeah, of course. I think it's hard not to be disappointed to see any good players leave your club. Adlung in particular, look, Absalonsson, I thought he lit the league on fire when he played, but he wasn't there consistently enough.
Right.
And I would love to have seen him stay anyway and hopefully get a good season under his belt, but I don't think the effect on the team is quite as big as we didn't have him for a lot of it. Whereas Daniel Adlung played most of the season and he was really, really influential. We have brought in Mirko Bolland, who's another central midfielder from Germany, but they're quite different, but I think they fill the same sort of role. So Mirko Bolland's not quite as imposing, but he's very technical and he's a goal-scoring central midfielder. So I think that I was a bit worried we wouldn't be able to cover that sort of loss, but I think Mirko Bolland's going to step in there and really surprise some people this year.
It's not surprising that the club didn't re-sign Zengis Kovusevic following his knee injury. But one player that, or two players that I'm surprised to see, well, not surprised, but I'm interested in your opinion, Mark Ochieng, who never really, I feel, took the opportunities that were given to him. He showed bursts. He had it quite. He was very quick. And also Jordan O'Doherty, who had a promising season the year before last, and now has moved to, was it Western Sydney?
Western Sydney, yeah.
Are those two players that, are you surprised that they weren't re-signed?
Mark Ochieng, I think I was. I think I personally had a bit of a soft spot for the guy, to be honest. You know those players where you watch them and as a fan, you can see them coming along and you're hoping they make that next step.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of that guy for me. And the problem is I don't get to see those players and fans don't get to see those players so much at training. So you don't know whether they have the right attitude, whether they're training as hard as the other guys. On the pitch, I really liked Mark Ochieng and I'm hoping that at some point he gets his chance. He played quite well this season for Adelaide Comets and they were in the FFA Cup and I think he sort of showcased himself a little bit in that competition. In terms of Jordan O'Doherty, I'm not sure how much he really put in. I'm not sure how effective he really was for us and I'm really interested to see how he does do for Western Sydney, because I think he is a good player. And if he gets his chance, it'll be really interesting to see what he can do over at Western Sydney.
I expect that Ben Garuccio's departure is one of looking for career advancement. He's playing now in Scotland for Hearts.
Yep.
And he's killing it week in, week out, by all reports. And another player that you lost at the back is Tarek Elrich, and We as Jets fans know Tarek Elrich very well. He's returned to Western Sydney, where he's also fondly remembered. Has Tarek's time in Adelaide, is it fondly remembered as well as a fan, with him remembered as a fan favourite?
Very much so. The fans in Adelaide absolutely love Tarek Elrich. They were disappointed to see him go, but I think they understood because he was struggling to get in the team above Ben Garuccio. So I believe the situation sort of went that they were leaving Tarek Elrich out because Garuccio was getting so much of a run. And then Garuccio was poached by Scotland and he obviously made a decision to go to Europe, which is completely understandable. And then we were left searching for a left-back this season, which probably wasn't on the cards for Adelaide United and sort of forced upon us.
Well, that's why I guess you've now looking at your ins, you've recruited Scott Galloway from the Wellington Phoenix, Luis D'Arrigo. If I've pronounced that correctly.
Yep.
That's a young player who's been promoted to the team?
Yeah, he's only 16 years old. So
wow.
I'm not sure how much game time he'll see this year, whether or not it'll just be a bit of an experience training with the first team full time and you know a few appearances off the bench perhaps. But Scott Galloway, he's been standard left-back since he's come in. He was on trial for quite some time before we signed him. And since then, in all the FFA Cup games, that's been his position, and he's been a starting left back.
Mikkel Jakobsen will obviously take the role that Ersin Gulam had at the centre of defence alongside probably Taylor Regan, I'd expect.
Elsie. He'll be there with Elsie.
Elsie, right. Well, fabulous signing. Very strong signing as well. With Mikkel Jakobsen, you've got to be happy with him.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of those players, one of the few players, because I tend to be quite one-eyed and passionate about my team, that I liked from another team. I really respected him as a player, and when he's come over, I was very happy with the signing. And as I said before, Elsie next to him. Elsie had a great season last year, and he's still young. And I think having that older experience next to him is going to be very influential for him.
I'd argue that in terms of attacking signings, that Adelaide are almost winning the transfer off-season in terms of just all-around quality. Craig Goodwin picked up after his contract was terminated with Sparta Rotterdam. And Ben Halloran, who, look, people who regularly listen to our podcast might know that we were coming back from the FFA Cup in the Gold Coast, and our flight to Newcastle from Brisbane was delayed, and mate, I swore that Ben Halloran was on that plane. We were googling images because Ben Halloran's coming to Newey, but turns out the next day he signed for Adelaide, so we were wrong. but they're very strong wide players that will add, I think, a lot to the team this year.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think last year Kiddo was our leading goal scorer, and now I think Kiddo's going to struggle to start. I think he's back up for Goodwin on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Miller Usnich, who had a great season on the right, I think he's probably going to be back up for Halloran on the right. So that just shows how much stronger we've got. Two of our better players from last season are going to really be pushing hard to be able to even get on the pitch as starting players.
Somewhere where Adelaide has struggled over the last couple of years is a centre forward. Something I've always recognised. Is Ken also going to be the answer to that, or is Papa Diawara still the preferred option there?
Yeah, you're definitely not alone in noticing that. That's something in Adelaide we're very much aware of. That since Sergio van Dijk, really, he's the only prolific striker we've ever had. Jitte did a job up there, but you wouldn't put him in the same ilk as, you know, your Borussias and Sergio van Dijk's of the A-League.
Mm.
With all respect to Jitte, he's a fantastic player for us. But up front, I believe that the preference is going to be Diawara. I think they've worked really hard in the off-season to save him and to make sure his training's on point so that he's hitting the ground running in the first round of the season. It's hard to question Kurtz's decision on international appointments when they've been so good for us so far. So if he sees something in Diawara that obviously was hampered with injuries last year, when he did play, he showed glimpses of quality. And I'm really hoping that this year he can sort of step up and take that role by the scruff of the neck. I think that's the intention. We do have a young guy, Apostolos Stamatolopoulos, which is a bit of a mouthful. He is a young fellow that did really well in the youth league, and he's been playing in a lot of the preseason friendly. So I think we do have options. But Ken is, so although he is an option as a number nine, his preferred position is a number 10, sitting just behind and playing a bit more of a creative role.
Okay. Where are you seeing the team's strengths and possible weaknesses for this upcoming season?
I think our strengths, defensively, we look good. The FFA Cup, we haven't conceded a goal yet. Although we've been lucky a couple of times, we've had the post rattled, but nevertheless, we haven't conceded a goal. So I think our defence was quite strong. And our midfield and wingers, honestly, I don't know where we could improve too much there. We're looking really strong in the midfield and the wing positions. It's just the question really for me is our number nine position, whether or not Diawara can step up and be the player that we think he can be. That's probably our worry.
Crystal ball time, what are you expecting from Adelaide this year?
Look, I think we have the potential to go all the way, but there's a lot of teams that do. I think yourselves over at Newcastle do. I think Perth Victory and Sydney do. I think I ran through a little dummy ladder the other day, and I put us in at fourth. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's a very strong competition, and it is difficult to predict anything this year. If Honda comes out flying for Victory, do they finish top? Popovic is Perth. They're looking fantastic. And I think that the little golden ball for them is the fact that Popovic is such a creative manager. And he also whipped that state team into shape a little bit. I think they've had a bit of a drinking culture in the past and a bit of a party boy culture. And I think he'll sort of snap that out of them. City with Fornaroli, the two goals he scored in the FFA Cup, very hard to back against them guys doing well. So it's going to be a very strong season.
Yeah, you're not alone. It's probably one of the more exciting off-seasons in terms of quality of overall players and improvements that you can see through the recruitment each team has made. So it's going Definitely. To be a really good one. So prediction time. Who do you think will be the premiers? You've mocked up your table. Who's coming out on top?
I'll put Perth just above Victory. And it was a hard decision. Victory are probably favourites at the moment. And that's fair enough too with the signings they've made. They've got some real quality. The only reason I put Perth above is I think that sometimes Kevin Muscat can be a bit one-dimensional. And if someone works out how to nullify those options, I don't know if he's got anything in the bank to sort of change it up. Whereas I think Popovic over at Perth, he's a lot more fluid and he'll be able to, I think he'll make a real difference to the league. I think he's a quality manager, and I think I'll just pick him at the top there.
Grand final winners then?
It'd be hard to go past them to do the double, but in the final series, as we know, anything can happen. Once you're in that spot to go to the elimination finals, Victory showed last year they finished fourth and ended up winning it. I've always been a big proponent of the team that finishes first past the post is actually the best team of the season. But in this country, it's all about winning that championship, and Victory did the job. So when it comes down to finals, it's very hard to make a prediction other than picking the best team of the season, which I thought was Perth.
Wooden Spooners?
I think Wellington Phoenix. Last I heard, they were still four players short of their minimum squad with a couple of weeks until the first game, which is not ideal. They have made some good signings. I think they've actually strengthened, funnily enough, but I don't think they've strengthened enough to catch the rest of the teams who are all pulling away.
And who's going to be the top scorer this year?
I've got Fornaroli if he stays fit. I think Taggart's quite good from Brisbane, but I'm not sure that they'll score as many goals as City. And I do think that Toivonen and Lafondre, they're definitely going to be up and about with their goals. But I think Fornaroli's got the goods if he can stay fit to win that.
You got the Jets secretly hoping that Roy's just giving everyone an 8-game head start. Where do you think the Jets will finish this season?
I've got them just behind City in sixth position, so making finals.
Okay. Mate, Steve, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. Really appreciate it. If people want to find your podcast, where can they do it?
We're the About You Now podcast. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Castbox, Stitcher, Radio Public, and also on the Wooshka site. So, yeah, there's a few places you can get to us.
Awesome. And you can also find the team on Twitter and on Facebook as well.
Yeah, and Instagram.
Yep, many socials. Very social.
Yeah, that's it.
The same as everyone, really, these days.
That's it.
Mate, thank you very much. It's been great talking to you.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.